And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about, Alabama, y'all, Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before we jump into JP on sports, let me just remind you guys, so coming up first of the year, our radio footprint is changing. Contract negotiations with Crawford Broadcasting, our Birmingham affiliate, ended with us deciding to part ways. That's just a business decision. But nonetheless, that means that those of y'all that listen to us on 101.1 out of Birmingham just need to go ahead and find us in a different place. And I'm going to suggest to you right now, and in fact, I would just encourage you to do it right now. If you're a 101.1 listener, check out the fact that we're available online every single day. The show is streaming live as we speak via the internet. So anywhere on the World Wide Web, just go to it. And you can go to Rumble. You can go to YouTube. You can go to two different locations on Twitter. You can go to Twitch. I mean, and you go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Check them all out. And if you go to any one of those and they have a follow or a like, we are growing as a company, and part of growing, the platforms require you to hit certain marks where you can do more. And so we would really appreciate it if you check us out, like on YouTube, hit subscribe, because then you'll be able to find us easier next time. But it also means that we're growing and we get to do more stuff. Got to hit 1,000 on YouTube for the next goal. That's what we're hitting for. You know the deal. I love doing this. So this is a chance where I get to sit back and let somebody else be an expert for a while, and that would be the JP. Expert on sports. I just sit back in stunned amazement sometimes at the things you say, man. But this is a session we like to call JP on sports, and we got to start with the sound effects, so hit it, dude. JP on sports! There you go. All right, man, so for the audience's benefit, JP does have his own morning show on Saturdays, a sports show called Off the Bench on the Ump out of Huntsville, 9 to 11. And we do this thing on Fridays, generally speaking, we call it JP on Sports. And the first session is called Three and Out, three different topics. The second session is called 2 Minute Warnings. You have 2 minutes on each. Three and Out, dude. Take it.
Well, it's the week after conference championships. That means there's only one game this week, college football-wise. But it's a very fun game, the Army-Navy game.
Army-Navy.
Yeah. This is I'm trying to think. This may be the two best Army and Navy teams in an Army Navy game like in my lifetime. I'm not even kidding. We got 8-3 Navy versus 11-1 and American Conference champions, the Army Black Knights. So there was a chance that we're gonna get back to back Army Navy game, but Navy kind of slipped down at the end. So we still got a 22 ranked Army versus an 8-3 Navy. So it should be a fun game. These games are always fun, of like traditional old style football, triple option, run it down your throat type of, you know, old school football,
smash mouth football.
Yeah, and it's always cold in the Philadelphia Stadium in December. And Trump will be there this year. He will be there with JD and apparently Daniel Penny as well.
Daniel Penny, yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be a fun game. I think Army with the triple option has been the most effective triple option offense I've ever seen. I think they were like third in the nation in offensive overall stats most of the year, which with a triple option team is crazy. I mean, okay. The only team they lost to was Notre Dame, and I think that was just a fact of Notre Dame just simply had more athletes than Army, you know.
Can you educate me in like 20 seconds, triple option, what does that really mean?
So that's the offense is set up like, so you got the quarterback under the center, running back in the backfield, and then you have two, most of the time, you have two wide receivers like in a slot position between the quarterback and the running back.
So he has more options than just the one back.
So it's typically either, you know, option of keep the ball or hand it off, and then if he keeps it, the receiver goes out, so then he now has the option to keep it again or to pitch it out to the receiver, so it's a triple option in that sense. You got three options, you know.
Wow. Cool.
So it's pretty much, I mean, the service schools run that because they're typically low on athletes compared to their competition, so they're going to try to use, and if you can have a well-oiled machine triple option, it's hard to stop, as Army has proven this year. I mean, if you can master it, it's really hard to beat. I mean, that's how Army got to be 11-1. So I'm excited to see if Army can continue that, but I mean, Navy, they run that offense, so they I would hope they know how to stop it, you know. So we'll see if Navy has an answer for that too.
They practice against it every day, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see if Army can finish off 12-1. That would be very impressive, and then cap it off with a win against your rival of Navy. That would be very, very impressive. But yeah, I always look forward to this game. It's fun. It's fitting. It's the only game on. You know, everybody can put their attention to that.
And Trump, J.D. Vance, and Daniel Penny all in attendance.
Yep, supposedly Daniel Penny. I think he accepted that invitation. So yeah.
All right, three and out. That's one. What you got?
So also Saturday night we have the Heisman ceremony.
Oh yeah.
So it's the four finalists are Ashton Jeanty, the Boise State running back. Travis Hunter, the two-way player from Colorado. And then you have Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback for Oregon. And then Cam Moore, the quarterback for Miami. But everybody pretty much knows it's down between Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter. So Travis Hunter actually won the AP Player of the Year yesterday. The last eight Heisman winners have won that award.
Oh, wow.
So Travis Hunter, I think last time I checked, he's like a minus 1,500 to win. But if you ask me, I think Ashton Jeanty should still win the award because what he's done at that position of running back, where we were talking about him maybe breaking Barry Sanders' rushing yards record, that record is like untouchable. So the fact that that was even, you know, a chance was amazing. He still has a chance to break his touchdown record. But obviously they're amazed because Travis Hunter is playing both ways so well, offense and defense. And he won the Biletnikoff Award, which is the best receiver, which I think he probably shouldn't have gotten that. But nevertheless, obviously it's impressive. I'm not saying Travis Hunter is not an impressive athlete, don't get me wrong, but I think what Ashton Jeanty has done at running back is more impressive than Travis Hunter being good on both sides of the ball. It's like elite versus a great athlete, you know what I mean? So my vote would be for Jeanty, but I think everybody's counting on Travis Hunter winning.
I tell you what, I've been so, and I said on the show before, I love Jeanty's loyalty to his team.
Yeah.
He couldn't be talked into the NIL or the portal to leave. He said, this is where I started. I'm going to stay with the ones, you know, dance with the one that I brought.
Yeah. He could be making millions and playing for an Ohio State or somebody like that, but he decided to stay with Boise and made them a playoff team, which is another thing. If you put Travis Hunter on Boise State, put Ashton Jeanty on Colorado, Colorado's a playoff team. Boise State's not a playoff team without Jeanty. So I think that's a key component to why I think Jeanty should win. But I think I'm just coming to terms that it will go to Travis Hunter and Jeanty will probably be robbed. I hope they don't get it wrong, but I think they will. So we'll see what happens.
All right, three and out. That's two. What you got?
So next, I mean, in the college football world, we're continuing. I mean, we're coming down to the 12-team playoff. So this first year of the 12-team playoff, which I'll get to in the three and out. But first, I got to talk about Belichick to UNC.
Belichick to UNC.
I feel like that deserves a story of its own. What world do we live in that Belichick is in college football and Nick Saban is out? You know, like, who would have thought that would ever be a scenario? But nonetheless, Belichick is back in coaching and now at the college level. I sense this is going to be a disaster, personally. I don't know how well Belichick will do with today's college athletes and NIL and all that. I mean, people can make the argument that it's becoming more like the NFL game, but still, I mean, these are college kids. You can't talk to kids like he's talked to or treated adults. They're not going to take it the same way. So I don't know how the players will react to how he coaches and his coaching style, but, I mean, he's the greatest professional football coach of all time. So the X's and O's, he's going to be able to compete with people. But the question is, how will Belichick jive with the 18 to 22-year-olds, you know? I don't know how they'll take his coaching. I'll just say it that way. And we'll see if he can adapt to recruiting. He's never done it before. He's never had to recruit somebody. He picks. I draft you. You're on my team. You know, he's never had to win anybody over to come to his school. So we'll see how he does in that area. But also, if you're UNC, what do you have to lose, really? I mean, you just had Mac Brown, who was he was 73, and now they're going to a 72-year-old. So, I mean, but
they gained a year.
If you're UNC, I mean, I guess what do you have to lose? Try to get somebody that will be fun and try to revive your program. And then if it doesn't work, you can go for a young coach. But yeah, it's I think it was a 3-year, $30 million contract he signed. So not a long contract, but I don't know. I think this is more of a I don't know, entertainment sort of. I just don't think it's going to go well.
I got an observation and a question for you. Mm-hmm. So first observation is he's going to – I wonder how it's going to be for him because once he had a player in the NFL, they were under contract.
Yeah.
And they couldn't just leave. But now the portal changes things. He can have players leave almost in midseason if they want to. You know, it's crazy. And so he may have this issue of people coming and going that he hadn't expected or that he has to now really retain as much as recruit.
Yeah, he's going to be like, Coach, I want $50,000 to stay. You know, I feel like Belichick would just be like,
You want See what? Yeah. Hit the road,
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
The other question I have, though, is he going to wear hoodie sweatshirts with the sleeves cut off on the sidelines?
Oh, probably. 100%. He's not going to change that. You know, if it's worked, then why change it? But, yeah, it would be – I mean, we saw NIL drive Nick Saban out. So I don't know what's intriguing about the college game that will bring Belichick back. But some people are saying this is a middle finger to NFL of like you won't because apparently I mean he tried to get with the Falcons, the Raiders, he tried with all these teams and nobody would take him. So I think this is a fine, I'll go coach in college sort of thing is what some people are theorizing. But
did he leave with a bad taste in his mouth from the Patriots?
I think so. I think it was quote mutual, but I know he still wants to coach, and I think he feels disrespected. Of look, I'm the greatest coach of all time, and nobody in the NFL wants me. And I think this is his petty way of saying like I'm gonna find a way to coach somewhere. You know?
Yeah. What they didn't want was a 73-year-old guy who may not have much tenure time. They want somebody. The NFL's building legacy, so if they bring somebody in, they want to know they've got him for more than 2 years.
And a coach who wants control of everything,
everything,
front office, everything, his decision. Not intriguing.
Who's been in the system for, you know, 35 years, and so he knows how it's done. You can't tell him different.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be interesting, man.
We'll see how it works.
Nuts. All right, that's round one of JP on Sports. You did the three and out like a monster, man. That was good stuff. I love how you threw Belichick in. That was a good line. All right, we're coming right back for the two-minute warnings. That's where he's got 2 minutes on any given topic, and he just runs the gamut. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, I tell y'all, he's got some superpowers, JP. JP's got a superpower on sports. So we're doing JP on sports right now. First segment we just did was the three and out. And he did those three stories that were top on the list. Now we go to the two-minute warnings where he runs the gamut. 2 minutes, no more of that. There's a buzzer that even sounds. Go.
Well, first, as a baseball guy, this story is crazy to me. We had the largest contract in baseball history signed this past week. Juan Soto signed a 15-year, $756 million contract.
What?
With the New York Mets.
How many years?
15 years, $756 million. The largest contract in baseball history.
What is the buyout on that?
Probably a lot. We had Shohei Ohtani last year sign a record-breaking contract of 10 years, $700 million. And I think he's about worth that, considering he's probably the greatest baseball player of all time. But Juan Soto, I'm not buying the $756 million, but this just shows how the baseball market is becoming extremely inflated. You pretty much have to overpay to get a player nowadays because there's no salary cap in baseball, which is a problem. Yeah. Teams can spend however much they want. To try to combat that, they put a luxury tax of, like, if you go over this amount, you got to pay a tax. But, like, to the Dodgers and Yankees, they're like, luxury tax, whatever, we'll pay that. But then small market teams like the Braves, they have to work to stay below that luxury tax. They can't afford to go above it. So now you got teams like the Mets, like, yeah, we'll just throw money at you, and other teams, like, they can't afford that. So this is a trend of overpaying, and the inflated market in baseball is crazy. And I hope there's a salary cap that gets instituted soon, because the Yankees, Dodgers, and Mets will just have all the players nowadays, and other teams will be able to compete because they can't pay that much. So we'll see if there's any changes, but yeah, $756 million.
I don't have the calculator in front of me, but I think that means he's making somewhere in the neighborhood of, what, $62 million a year?
Something like that, yeah. Oh. So if you got a kid out there, if you
I'll
got a
do
son,
it for half.
If you got a son out there, start throwing baseball with him.
Yeah, really?
$700 million one day.
Put the glove on and get out in the yard. It's time.
Well, we'll see if there's any changes made, because that's just way too much money.
Oh, that's it. 2 minutes. All right, come back around, clear the clock, ready, go.
I talked about the 12-team playoff, and obviously that's been the main story with college football this year. But the first games of that 12-team playoff will start next weekend. And there was a lot of debate of, should a three-loss Alabama get in over SMU, who had two losses? Even I said no as an Alabama fan. They should not get in over that. But now a precedent was set either way of, if you're in Alabama, you could schedule an easy schedule, go 11-1, and even if you don't win your conference, you're probably going to get in, because strength of schedule doesn't have as much weight as it used to. Or if they set the precedent for putting Alabama in, then they say, well, strength of schedule is what matters. It doesn't matter if you make your conference championship game, schedule hard teams, and even if you have three losses, you can still get in. So, but they chose the route of conference championships matter, and but now they're going down the route of strength of schedule probably doesn't matter as much. Record is what matters as much. I've seen a lot of people say, Well, yeah, you want to talk about having an easy out-of-conference schedule. You lost to Vandy and Oklahoma, who were in your conference, which is a fair argument. Like, don't lose to those teams, you're probably in. But still, what's the argument for anybody scheduling a hard schedule? If you're an 11-1, Alabama's good to get in every time. So just schedule cupcakes out of the conference, you know. So I think that may be where we're going with this new age of college football and the precedent that they set. But I will say this, though. I'm ready to predict 2 upsets with this 12-team playoff. I think SMU's going to win round one. I think Tennessee is also going to beat Ohio State at Ohio State round one. I think you can pretty much take those to the bank for the first. So I got 2 bold takes in there already that I'm ready to throw out there. But
wow. With very little time left, sometimes those schedules get set 2 and 3 years in advance.
Exactly. So that's
how do you get around? I mean, you might not know that a team's going to be a top 10 team 2 or 3 years prior.
You can cancel them. I mean, that's obviously in their wheelhouse. But Alabama's got to go to Florida State next year, which when they scheduled that was a big strength of schedule. But now maybe not as much as Florida State went 2 and 10.
All right, 2 minutes. Start, refresh the clock, and go.
All right, we're going to college basketball now. We got Auburn is going to Ohio State this weekend, number 2 Auburn. And then we got number 7 Alabama is playing Creighton at home. Some people call Creighton Alabama's biggest basketball rivalry.
Really?
Because I can't remember the record off the top of my head. I think we've played Creighton the most times of 2 teams in the NCAA tournament. I think it's been Alabama-Creighton, the most common matchup.
Where is
in there.
Creighton?
That is in Omaha, okay. Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
So Alabama scheduled a home and home with them. We played at Creighton last year. They're playing in Tuscaloosa tonight or tomorrow night. So yeah, this is it. We're winding down the end of out of conference play, and I say it every week, but it looks like the IBOB is going to be a big time matchup. They play twice. We could look at a three or four time Alabama playing Auburn because they play twice in the regular season. They could run into each other in the SEC tournament, and then who knows? They may run into each other in the March Madness. So, although there's 2 games on the schedule right now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least a 3 matchup between these 2 teams. We could have an SEC championship of Alabama and Auburn on top of the 2. So, yeah, it's gonna be fun. But Alabama, though, they lost Latrell Reitzel to a season-ending injury, who was their best shooter. So they're gonna have to work around that. They got guys like Houston Mallett and Chris Youngblood to hopefully fill that hole. And Auburn's been riding high. The only loss on their schedule is at Duke, which they didn't even drop in the rankings from that loss.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a hard place to play, hard team to play. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. February 15th is round one of the IBOB in Tuscaloosa. But it's looking like it's gonna be it. Everybody's going to be watching that game.
What are they going to do? Call them like IBOB 1, IBOB 2, IBOB 3? What are they going to do?
IBOB round 1.
The IBOB tournament? Yeah.
It can be the IBOB tournament.
It might be, man. Like protracted throughout the season, the IBOB tournament persists.
I'm very excited. Jahni Broome is looking like he's made win player of the year for Auburn. I think he's averaging 20 points and 10 rebounds a game. So he's averaging a double-double. But, yeah.
All right, 2 minutes. Do we have time for another one?
I guess I can squeeze one.
Squeeze one in. Ready? Go.
We only got 10 seconds, but I'll just reiterate the 12-team playoff and how excited I am, even though Alabama's out of it. I'm excited to see playoff games played at home places, like at home stadiums, you know? So we'll see how that plays a factor. Home field advantage is a factor we haven't had to take into account before now, but now it's a big factor.
All that and Belichick, too.
And Belichick, yeah.
All right. JP on sports. Good job, man. All right, coming up next. We're changing subjects. We're going back into cultural controversial stuff with the controversial mom, Emily Jones, calling in. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.